Page 1. The Blind Californian, Quarterly Magazine of the California Council of the Blind, Summer 2018, Volume 62, Number 3. Published in Braille, Large Print, Audio CD. Email bc-subscribe@ccbnet.org and online in readable and downloadable text and audio media. Judy Wilkinson, President, 1550 Bancroft Avenue, No. 113, San Leandro, California, 94577-5264. Cell 510-388-5079. President@ccbnet.org. Executive Office, California Council of the Blind, 2143 Hurley Way, Suite 250, Sacramento, California, 95825. 916-441-2100, voice, 916-441-2188, fax, email, ccotb@ccbnet.org, website, www.ccbnet.org. Page 2, Jeff Tom, Director, Governmental Affairs Committee, 800-221-6359, toll free, 916-995-3967, cell. governmentalaffairs@ccbnet.org, webmaster@ccbnet.org. Mike Keithley, Editor, 191 East El Camino Real, No. 150, Mountain View, California, 94040, 650-386-6286, editor@ccbnet.org. Susan Glass, Associate Editor, 408-408-257-1034. editor@ccbnet.org. The California Connection is a weekly news service provided by phone in English and Spanish at 800-221-6359, Monday through Friday after 5 p.m. and all day on weekends and holidays. Page 3. By email subscription, send a blank message to connection-subscribe@ccbnet.org or on the web at www.ccbnet.org. Submissions for the California Connection can be emailed to ca.connection@ccbnet.org. Non-members are requested, and members are invited to pay a yearly subscription fee of $10 toward the production of The Blind Californian. In accepting material for The Blind Californian, priority will be given to articles concerning the activities and policies of the California Council of the Blind and to the experiences and concerns of blind persons. Recommended length is 1,800 words. The deadline to submit material for the fall 2018 issue of The Blind Californian is noon, September 15, 2018. Shop at Amazon. Donate to CCB. Access https://smile.amazon.com/ch/94-1265032. Please send all address changes to the Executive Office. Page 4. Table of Contents. From the Editor, Mike Keithley, page 5. The Journey Forward, Judy Wilkinson, page 5. From Paul Shane, page 10. Affairs Report, Jeff Tom, page 12. Pursuing Jazz, A Blind Woman's Advantage During Exercise, Bonnie Rennie, page 16. Reporting the 2018 CCB Conference and Convention, Alice Turner, Mike Keithley, and Maylee George, page 18. California Parks Project Update, Susan Glass, page 41. Tributes to Ken Metz, part 1, page 45. Membership Committee Report, Vivian Younger, page 52. CCB Officers and Directors, page 53. Page 5. From the Editor, by Mike Keithley. Welcome to the summer issue of The Blind Californian. One thread wandering through this issue of the BC is the passing of Ken Metz, an influential leader in CCB. In this and the fall issues, we'll publish memorials of Ken. I hope we do Ken justice. In addition, the CCB board has unanimously voted to induct Ken into the CCB Hall of Fame. We also have a rich and detailed report on the 2018 CCB Conference and Convention, plus an amusing poem by Bonnie Rennie. In closing, it's been reported that the Marrakesh Treaty has been voted out of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee and will soon be addressed by the full Senate, so write your senators to pass it. Page 5. The Journey Forward, by Judy Wilkinson. I called Pam Metz on her home phone the other day, and whose exuberant, cheery voice should answer but Ken's? This shortly after my calling his cell phone from Venice to hear his hilarious message, complete with wolves. Page 6. The loss of his larger-than-life presence leaves a huge sadness and silence in our CCB family. See tributes to this dear man elsewhere in this and the next PC. This loss, so soon after his election to the second vice presidency, cannot but dampen the high of our recent conference and convention. But what a convention it was, from our exciting debates about our bylaws to interesting informative speakers in general and other sessions, to terrific exhibits despite our conflict with CSUN, not a problem next year, to new additions, such as the Beethoven and Friends concert, our river walk, a tactile art exhibition, our banquet with its entertainment and awards. And how about dining in the dark? We set a classy tone and a high bar for next year. And we had the most convention sponsorships ever, around $15,000, and the lowest deficit ever, around $2,000. As I near the end of my first term, here are some of the things on my plate as I return from my wonderful month-long vacation to visit friends in England for 3 weeks, followed by the dream of a lifetime 9-day visit to Venice with Steve and Carly. A substantial focus this year is on our major gifts campaign. See my article in the Spring BC for more details. Page 7. For projects to be undertaken in that campaign, the board will frame a request for member input at an important public meeting on June 14th. Though we adopted a resolution to attempt to forge a connection with a like-minded organization in our advocacy efforts, we must plan for Jeff Tom's decision to step back from his work as our legislative advocate. Without Jeff's willingness to serve in this unpaid, nearly full-time position, we could never have had such a meaningful presence in the legislature. Thank goodness Jeff isn't going away. He plans to remain involved as we work on filling his shoes on our Governmental Affairs Committee and for boots on the ground next year in Sacramento. Luckily, Jeff has agreed to continue as chair of the Convention Planning Committee for 2019. Last year, as an experiment, I chaired the overall convention committee that we assumed would have a number of subcommittees, which turned out to be unwieldy. So this year, we return to one convention program committee. But rest assured that when Jeff politely asks, "Madam President, do you have any thoughts?" the usual reply of, "When does Madam President not have any thoughts?" will be heard. The bylaws committee will resume its work in June, and before next year's vote, we plan to have a number of major supporting policies in place that we can indeed adopt a more streamlined set of bylaws. Page 8. I am happy to report that Alameda County paid us for 2016 and 2017 as per our settlement agreement in the Alameda voting machine case, and the mediated part of this ongoing legal matter comes to a close at the end of May. I will be reporting to the board and seeking their advice to future efforts in this case. Stay tuned. In response to the terrific regional meeting of CCB chapters in Southern California in late January, we gained an appreciation of how much we think of and will miss Ken Metz. We are planning a meeting in Fresno on June 9th with Central California chapters and another on September 15th for Bay Area chapters. I hope we will return soon for another visit to Southern California. Two Californians will become angels at this year's American Council of the Blind Convention. Thanks to our Bayview, Capitol, and San Francisco chapters, Al Gill will be recognized. Though we may not be in time to have a statement during ACB's opening ceremonies, donations from a number of individuals means that Teddy Joy Rimhild will take her place as an angel. One of my responsibilities as your president is to serve as California's delegate. Page 9. To that end, I will serve on the nominating committee, where several board and board of publications positions will be in play. Remember, you can text or call me during the convention to make your wishes known. Steve and I also plan to contribute wine to the ACB auction, and as captain of the California Colossals, I'll be seeking your donations in the 10th anniversary Brenda Dillon Memorial Walk, an ACB fundraiser. And remember, 50% of what you donate comes back to CCB. The link to donate to this event is acb.donorpages.com/2018ACB Walk/California Colossals. I close with my heartfelt thanks for electing me to a second term as your president. I realize, however, that re-election doesn't necessarily imply unanimity. I understand that fear of change and misunderstanding of what we're trying to accomplish exist. I can only promise that I will keep doing my best to communicate fully, respond to your concerns, and do my utmost to advance the interests of our organization and our members as we journey forward. Page 10. From Paul Shane. Greetings, friends. I want to begin by taking a moment to express my deep sadness regarding the passing of Ken Metz. I will miss the smile in his voice and the joke on his tongue greatly in the days ahead. Next, I would like to thank everyone who helped with the convention and our first Dining in the Park event together. The multiple moving parts that had to be greased and maintained to put on these events successfully and simultaneously were enormous, and we absolutely could not have done it without you, my behind-the-scenes unsung heroes. A convention report appears later in this issue of the BC. We've benefited from 188 community volunteers who dedicated over 1,500 hours of time, which is equivalent to approximately $35,000 in in-kind donations to the CCB. Dining in the Dark went very well and opened a lot of doors to future relationships for the CCB. The event made over $25,000 and was attended by 175 people. It was financially supported by 6 corporate sponsors, 1 private family, and numerous others who made in-kind donations to the cause. Page 11. We are still working on final figures, but I think the event cleared at least $2,500. This is excellent for such a first-time effort, and this effort should raise much more money next year as the signature efforts in our major gifts campaign. Finally, I want to thank Judy Wilkinson and the CCB Board of Directors for their support of Dining in the Dark and the convention. Judy, as board president, truly led by example by single-handedly raising $10,000 in convention sponsorships and $950 for Dining in the Dark. She then went a step further and spent $6,500 of her own money at the auctions. All told, Judy gave or got $17,450 in support of this year's events. Not bad, Judy. Not bad at all. Now we know what we can do. We, of course, expect more next year. Approximately 98% of the CCB Board of Directors financially contributed to supporting Dining in the Dark. This is huge. I've been putting on events for over 25 years now, and the largest board contributions I have ever experienced was around 80% from an organization with about 10 times the budget of the CCB. Special thanks to Sarah Harris, Fresno Chapter President, for chairing the event committee, page 12, recruiting a table sponsor, and for sharing her story, which resulted in $5,000 in donations to the CCB in 5 minutes. Special thanks to Frank Welty, San Francisco Chapter President, for contributing to the event's script. Frank's contribution ensured positive and empowering atmosphere for all attendees and kept all aspects of the event aligned with the vision and mission of the CCB. We still have a long road ahead of us, but I can confidently state that our feet are solidly on the pathway to a long-term prosperous future for the CCB. Page 12. Governmental Affairs Report by Jeff Tom. The hot Sacramento summer is looming, and the heat not only hits the streets of Sacramento, but also invades the Capitol building itself. Let's take a peek at some of the very hot topics that most impact people who are blind or have low vision. Our bill, AB 1865, Lackey, to strengthen protections against owners of dogs that attack service animals, is swiftly moving through the process. Page 13. It has already passed the Assembly and has passed its first Senate committee. We expect little, if any, opposition in the legislature, but we must convince the governor that he should not repeat his veto of almost the same bill we ran 2 years ago, as we have taken out provisions to which he objected. We will eventually be calling for letters to the governor, and your help is absolutely crucial. As usual, the SSI debate is always a hot item, and CCB, as part of the Californians for SSI Coalition, is actively involved. AB 3200, which is not likely to pass, would raise benefits for all up to the federal poverty level, and perhaps most importantly for blind recipients, reinstitute the annual state cost of living adjustments to benefits. With this governor, the expense of such a bill is not likely to be favorably acted upon, although the budget committees currently have a small increase in the budget. Moreover, the next governor should be far more favorably disposed toward SSI increases. However, on a positive note, momentum is building, and we should know long before this magazine is produced whether the state will opt to end the prohibition against CalFresh food stamps for SSI recipients. This is the most cost-effective way that the state can provide benefits to SSI recipients, as the cost of the program is almost exclusively federal. Page 14. An important bill for persons who are blind or have low vision, and which are co-sponsoring along with Disability Rights California, is SB 1396, Galgiani, which would establish a state office of accessible technology in order to ensure that state websites and other platforms are accessible. By the time you read this, we will know whether it made it through the Senate, and thus would then be heard by this summer in the Assembly. The advocacy work that CCB undertakes deals with many subjects, but few are far more important to us than Braille. AB 3223 would change the definition of Braille in the Education Code from Standard English Braille to the currently used Unified English Braille. Because of the CCB's involvement, we are ensuring that the bill protects the use of Nemeth code in the teaching of Braille mathematics. And this has led the way to the other amendments to protect specialized music and foreign language systems. Many thanks to the Contra Costa chapter for advocating with the author, Assemblymember Grayson, on this bill. It is our work on bills, such as AB 3223, that shows how important it is that CCB remain active in force in the halls of the state capitol. Page 15. CCB is also active on the voting rights legislation front. We're working for the passage of AB 1013, LOW, which would require all counties, not just those with vote-by-mail elections, to allow voters with disabilities to vote using their computers. It would also enable many of us who want to vote absentee to do so in a private and independent manner. AB 1013 has already passed the Assembly and has passed its first Senate committee. We're still working on the library services funding issue for both the Braille Institute Library and the Braille and Talking Book Library. Through your efforts on Capitol Day and our governmental affairs advocacy efforts, the issue is beginning to gain traction. Whether we can do anything this year remains unknown, although at least our federal funding was not cut. However, we will continue to face efforts to eliminate this federal funding, and we must prepare to have California set up and bear at least a portion of this funding burden. Page 16. Pursuing Jazz, A Blind Woman's Advantage During Exercise, by Bonnie Rennie. Jazz and exercise? How, you might ask, can these two things be related? Read on and all will be revealed. I recently posted this piece on Facebook in honor of Jazz Appreciation Day. Back in the good old days, when the smooth jazz format used to be readily available on the radio, I used to prefer this mostly instrumental music to accompany me on my morning stationary bike rides. My sighted husband seemed to be mystified by my ability to be contented by going nowhere and seeing nothing on my cycle, and would tease me. One thought leads to another, and I realized that being a blind peddler probably made this stationary journey quite acceptable. And as we know, there's nothing quite like the theater of the mind. Pursuing jazz, pedal to the metal, holding tight to the bar. I alternate between fast and slow, though my destiny is not to go far. Where are you riding to? His teasing intention to razz. To a good place, I smile back. I'm pursuing jazz. To the Carlsbad Seawall or the Gas Lamp District downtown, skirting the vibrant flower fields. In imagination, they bloom all year round. Why not Dana Point Harbor, the orange traffic circle, or that silly great park? The weather here is always perfect for a glide and a virtual lark. Up close and personal, scenery sails by. Feel the anchor of the road, sun and breeze to orient. Whatever the burden makes lighter the load. But regardless of the setting, good music must always play. Body aligns with the smooth rhythm, inspiring energy to press ever forward, as they say. It's all in the journey, not the destination. As the miles rack up, keeping me well, bright unclouded vistas, only happy sounds, let in by the image gate, better than pictures or even words could ever tell. You sure you don't mind riding stationary? I grin as the tune makes me pick up my pace. When I'm the only one I'm competing with, I always win the race. Page 18. reporting the 2018 CCB Conference and Convention, compiled from reports to the GSD-GHI affiliate and the SVCB chapter. Editor's note, this report of the 2018 CCB Conference and Convention is a compilation of two reports. Page 19, Alice Turner and Mike Keithley reported for the SVC chapter in its May newsletter. Maylee George reported for the GSD-GHI affiliate. Since this is a compilation, you should acquire the sources if necessary. Getting there. SVCB writes, both Alice and Mike took the Capitol Corridor train with John and Susan Glass and Rob Turner. Other SVCB people who attended the convention were John Vandervoort and Lorraine Brown. Maylee doesn't say how she got to the convention, so King proposes that we say she walked all the way from somewhere in Contra Costa County. Whew. And in the rain, too. Mike roomed with Steve Fort, an old friend. The first thing that happened after arriving in his room was the discovery that he couldn't open his suitcase. The zipper broke, but a bellboy from the hotel got the suitcase unzipped, though that thing is still broken. So began the convention for Mike, a collection of good and not so good. Being able to hear in the meetings was a chronic problem. CCB's ability to cover events other than the general sessions was disappointing. He often found that he became angry about this situation, but the general sessions and banquet were on ACB radio, page 20, and he actually used his iPhone to hear broadcasts when the ALD system was failing. The hotel's food was pretty good and not outrageously expensive. Wednesday evening was a time for relaxing and getting familiar with the hotel's floor plan, which was quite compact and easy to understand. This year, there were more volunteers than usual, even though attendance was obviously higher than last year. Capital Day. Maylee writes, the rain was heavy on the morning of Thursday, March 22nd, when over 20 convention attendees rose early and traveled via light rail to the state capitol. We each had arranged our appointments with our assigned legislators or legislative staff person in advance. Gabe Griffith and I live in the same district, so we visited the staff from Senator Stephen Glazer and Assemblyman Timothy Grayson's offices. We also made appointments with staff from the offices of Assemblyman Adam Gray Merced and Matthew Harper Costa Mesa. During telephone meetings held prior to the convention, Jeff Tom, Legislative and Governmental Affairs Chair, reviewed the four legislative issues we were to discuss during our appointments. The first one was an issue that we as GSG-DHI members are familiar, AB 1865, page 21. This is a bill meant to expand protection for guide, signal, and service dogs by eliminating the requirement that the dog be in discharge of its duties. The person who owns the attack dog would be required to pay for treatment of the injured service dog and the cost to replace the dog if necessary, and cover any injuries that the guide dog handler suffers and or lost wages as a result of the attack. We discussed three additional issues. The need to increase the state portion of SSI income up to the poverty level, AB 3200, CALRA, which was heard in April, SB 1396, which would establish the Office of Accessible Technology and ensure that persons with vision loss have full access to online information on state services and programs, including education, employment, health and social services, housing, disaster, and law enforcement services. Finally, we urged our legislators to commit to a budget allocation of $400,000, which would send a strong message about the value that state legislators place on the shrinking federal funds allocated for library services. See Jeff's governmental affairs report in this BC. Thursday afternoon, SVCB writes, convention-related things didn't begin for Mike until the technology committee meeting Thursday afternoon, page 22. Though there was no ALD transmitter and Mike couldn't hear the speakers well, he was sitting next to Sheila somebody who summarized what people were saying, mighty helpful in a pinch. One important part of the meeting was a discussion of how visually impaired diabetics can access their glucose meters. The Progeny system was described, together with techniques of getting an accurate blood sample on the test strip. The current state of affairs seems to be that there is no truly accessible blood glucose meter in the United States. In Europe, there are accessible systems, but they haven't been approved in the U.S. through the Food and Drug Administration, FDA, and some that are approved are not insured by Medicare. We hope that the Dexcom system, which uses an iOS device and sensor under the skin, will soon be universally available. Ken Metz volunteered to set up an email listserv to discuss diabetes and whether there is interest in forming a CCB special interest diabetic affiliate. Alas, Ken is gone now, so someone else will do this work. Mike went to the credentials committee meeting to monitor the official seating of SVCB and its 17 votes for the convention. Page 23. Pam Pelagi, credentials committee chair, has been ill, and Mike hears she is out of the hospital and recovering nicely. Frank Welty did the honors. Mike thinks it's safe to say that SVCB is still the largest chapter in CCB. And now, dining in the dark. Maley writes, approximately 25 CCB members, including many from GSG DHI and their dogs, committed to serve as table hosts during this fundraiser, at which we were dressed in our finest. Christine Ha, blind chef and winner of MasterChef Season 3, designed the menu and was available to sign her cookbook and pose for photos. The Dining in the Dark table hosts and other CCB members took advantage of every opportunity to highlight the 84-year history and accomplishments of the CCB. These included the number of volunteer hours, scholarships awarded, crisis support, community referrals, educational rights, talking ATMs, voting rights, and the White Cane Law. Prior to the five-course meal at which guests were encouraged to wear their dining-in-the-dark eye shades, a cocktail party and silent auction was held. Immediately following the dinner, a lively auction took place. Generous donations to CCB were also made by donors. Though I didn't stay, drinks and dining with live DJs took place afterwards. Page 24. SVCB writes, Thursday evening, Mike went to the Dining in the Dark fundraiser for CCB. He had never attended such an event, and it was just as someone said, an expensive dinner. There was a silent auction with some items exceeding $5,000, and noisy. Phew. There was no ALD transmitter for a time, and the couple sitting next to me was nice, but I couldn't talk to them. About halfway through the third course, there were five courses. The woman gave me a nice glass of red wine. Maybe I was looking glum. And then an ALD transmitter appeared, so I could then hear the MC and his work to get money, money, money. Estimates are that CCB made $12,000 that evening alone. The dinner featured offerings by blind chef Christine Ha, and the second course, a fish soup, was especially good. Alice and Rob were joined at the Dining in the Dark event by Rob's brother and sister-in-law, who live close to the hotel. This made the event even more special for them. See Paul Shane's article in This BC. Friday morning. Friday morning is traditionally Mike's busy time, with meetings of the Braille Revival League of California and the California Library Users of America. Page 25. There was no ALD transmitter in the room, so he was rather crippled as to participation, but he did accept the BRLC presidency. At the CLUA meeting, Mike Marlin, director of the Braille and Talking Book Library, talked. But Mike missed much of his speech, which is covered later, so there. Mike signed up to attend the BLRC CLUA luncheon, but he knew there would be no ALD transmitter, so he had a bacon cheeseburger at the restaurant instead, telling King he really didn't want those French fries. Alice attended the three-hour session titled Access and Advocacy. Its co-moderators were Stephen Mendelson and Jeff Tom. This included a series of speakers on three different topics. The first presentation, titled Integrating Access and Functional Needs, We Fail or Succeed Together, was given by B.L. Vance Taylor, who is Chief Office of Access and Functional Needs, California Governor's Office of Emergency Services. He talked about the essential steps individuals with disabilities need to take to prepare for emergencies. He cited many examples of issues that occurred during the fires of 2017. His advice was that every household should assemble a go bag packed with essentials, and every person in the household needs to know where the bag is stored. He suggests a closet near the front door. Page 26. There should be a plan in place for all family members to meet at a designated spot in case of a fire or disaster, for example, at the Smith's mailbox one block away. The speaker uses a wheelchair, and he shared the steps he takes so all members of his household have a job to do when evacuating, and they practice the drill. To prepare for emergencies, he suggested the CA Emergency Preparedness website as a place to find tips and tools targeted to individuals with disabilities. The link to put into your browser is www.calos.ca.gov/access-functional-needs-site/pages/AFN%20library.aspx. Another tool he recommended is an app targeted to specific counties, which sends out alerts in the event of an emergency or disaster. For Santa Clara County, the app is called Ready SCC. Then the attendees heard from Fred Nyson and Paul Spencer, attorneys from Disabilities Rights, California's Voting Rights Unit. They discussed the state and federal requirements for accessible voting. They reviewed the changes in the specific counties for voting independently at home using your computer. The process is not perfect yet, as several people in the room were beta testers. And there are challenges with printing the ballot, which needs to be signed and mailed by the voter. Individuals are encouraged to contact the presenters if they experience difficulties in voting. Page 27. Lastly, Michelle Iorio, staff attorney of Disability Rights Advocates, presented what their law firm is doing in regards to accessibility of websites. She discussed the process they need to follow in order to take legal action when a website does not provide equal access information, and shared how the courts are ruling. When this meeting is posted on our CCB website, it will be a good one to listen to if you are interested in these three topics. International Luncheon. Maley writes, Susan Glass spoke about the partnership between the National Park System, University of Hawaii, and ACB that is a gigantic project involving access to audio-described materials for every national park in California. Luncheon attendees learned about the experiences of the Fresno chapter members who provided input on this project at the Yosemite National Park. We were encouraged to contact Susan Glass to find out more about our national parks and how we might be able to participate in the expansion of this wonderful project. Page 28. First General Session. SVCB writes, ALD was available at the first general session, and Mike celebrated with King, who barked during the Pledge of Allegiance. I couldn't help it. Too happy. And now he says to be serious. Maley writes, President Judy Wilkinson opened by recognizing convention sponsors. She thanked the streaming team for making the convention accessible through ACB Radio. John Glass, Gabe Griffin, Ken Metz, and Rob Turner, plus Brooks and Ronnie, sound people. Peter Pardini gave an inspirational invocation, and the Cordova High School Junior ROTC did a presentation of the colors, our flags, followed by Louis Fawcett leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Frank Welty, serving as the nominations committee chair, complimented committee members on how orderly and fun the negotiations meeting was. The slate was announced. President Judy Wilkinson, First Vice President Gabe Griffith, Treasurer Lisa Presley Thomas, Directors Frank Welty, Charlene Ornelas, Penny Valdivinos, and Mike Turner. Rancho Cordova Mayor Linda Budge was introduced, and she presented Judy with the key to the city. Page 29. She welcomed the CCB and commended our organization for bringing activities in which the entire community could participate, including the art exhibit and dining in the dark. From sponsored Wells Fargo, Kathleen Martinez reported that since the end of 2017, she's been leading the Wells Enterprise Accessibility Program Office, which is focused on making products and services accessible, awarding scholarships, and recruiting employees with disabilities. Contact her about any of these programs at kathleen.martinez@wellsfargo.com. President's Report. Judy reported on some of the disappointments from the past year and explained that she and CCB learned from these mistakes. She quickly went on to what we should all be proud of. Nicole Pacheco was hired. Bylaws Committee has spent hundreds of hours revising the to-be-adopted bylaws. RBGG helped in the success of the vote by meal settlement. Abolish the Guide Dog Board, thanks primarily to Jeff Tom and Margie Donovan. Created the first draft of our case for support. Updated CCB internet site. It now has an online version of the scholarship application and CCB survey. Zoom Cloud technology will soon be used for meetings. The Seated Treadmill Project should be expanded despite a setback. Page 30. Convention sponsors are up 50%. The number of convention registrations are up. Dining in the Dark was a success. Opened our Southern California office. Plans are already being made for next year's convention, CCB's 85th anniversary. ACB President Kim Charlson has been invited as our guest. Judy thanked Paul Shane, Nicole Pacheco, and the CCB board and the committees, and closed with a final huge thank you to her husband, Steve Mendelson. Update from the BTBL. Speaker Mike Marlin, who just celebrated his 10th work anniversary, opened by joking that he works for the American Library Association and that his guide dog, Vivaldi, works for the American Labradorian Association. He went on to say that Vivaldi's title at work is Canine Librarian. Technological innovations. Possibility of NLS circulating refreshable braille displays. Next generation talking book players featuring wireless delivery. The UK has a unique player called In Your Pocket, voice activated and similar to Amazon's Echo Alexa. For a demonstration, Mike encouraged us to do a Google search. Library services. NLS is focusing on getting books to us quickly without having to rely so heavily on the Postal Service. Page 31. The patron-centric cartridge program will enable a library to put multiple books in a single customized cartridge for an individual patron with a 2 to 3 month loan period. Page 31. Because the library invested time and money converting many of the recorded cassette titles, contact the Braille Institute Library if interested in participating in this pilot. The descriptive video service has now over 500 movies available to borrow. Bookshare, the Institute for Museums and Library Services, provided a grant to do a 2-year pilot for Bookshare. They currently have 280 of the 325 seats filled. So if you want to have the $50 annual Bookshare fee waived, contact your library about this pilot. The purpose is to make as many opportunities for reading books available to people with print disabilities as possible. The Patron Advisory Council is always looking for new members. Mike recognized Warren Cushman, who represents the CCB on this council. If interested, visit the Patron Advisory Council application at www.library.ca.gov/BTBL/advisory-council. Dear Appropriator Letter Writing Campaign. President Trump has proposed complete elimination of federal library funding in 2019. Mike encouraged each of us to write the Senate Appropriations Committee about why libraries are important. Page 32. For more information, contact Mike or check out www.ala.org/advocacy/fund-libraries. The Marrakesh Treaty was signed in 2013 as part of the World Intellectual Property Organization with the United Nations. It allows for cross-border sharing of books and magazines in alternative formats in countries with copyright exception laws. Though Dianne Feinstein and Kamala Harris are in favor, Mike encouraged us to contact our senators and tell them why the Marrakesh Treaty is important. If you have any other questions about what Mike talked about, and there was a lot, contact him at mike.marlin@library.co.gov. Major gifts ramp up. Louis Fawcett began by saying he loves California, especially the wine country. He grew up in Virginia and served for 11 years as a Lutheran pastor. He now lives in South Carolina and works for the National Organization of Nonprofit Organizations and Executives. The Major Gifts Ramp-Up model will fund our work for the next 3 years and consists of 13 steps, starting with step 1 that will ensure that donors are a priority in the mission of CCB. The remaining steps focus on identifying talent amongst key leaders. Developing a case for support describes our mission in an inspirational way in 60 seconds or less. Page 33. Identifying prospects through DonorScope, which is a list of names and addresses of wealthy households. Planning an awareness event, we will invite 2,500 households and prominent members of the community, plus CCB leaders, to an inspirational lunch event. According to Mr. Fawcett, about 125 will attend, 80 will feel inspired enough for us to ask for money, and 40 to 50 will say yes. Then, visiting these 40 to 50 households and listening and learning about their concerns and goals in the spring, hosting a signature event like Dining in the Dark, likely to overlap with the convention, seeking a campaign cabinet consisting of 15 prominent individuals who will be involved in asking for major gifts for the operational needs of the organization, a one-time contribution to cover CCB through the next 3 years, and finally, celebrating the success of the campaign and the impact it had. Mr. Fawcett candidly reported that the success rate of the organizations he's worked with has been one-third have never been able to get it going, a third raise more money than they've ever raised before, but they don't reach their goal, usually because they get caught up somewhere in the model, or they fail to follow up with all the donors. Page 34, and a third work all the way through the model and they reach their goal. They do the hard work that needs to be done. Note, a major gift is $10,000 or more. These gifts will not be secured through fundraisers on social media, golf tournaments, or bingo games, or bike sales, which are all a lot of work for not very much money. And they don't build long-term relationships like this major gift campaign does. Uber. Austin Hayworth manages California policy for Uber. He lives in Sacramento and grew up in Los Angeles. He assured us that the company listens to feedback from customers and continues to focus on ways to make the service better and more accessible. All drivers must acknowledge quarterly that they understand their ADA responsibilities, including not denying passengers who are accompanied by their service animals. He encouraged us to use their complaint process if we are denied service. When we rate a driver a level of 3 or less several times, the driver will be suspended and we won't ever be matched with that driver again. Interesting fact, there are over 100,000 Uber drivers in the state of California. He closed by saying that Uber's goal is to treat each and every customer with dignity. Contact Austin at hayworth@uber.com. Page 35, Legislator of the Year Award. Jeff Tom, Legislative and Governmental Affairs Chair, related a story about the abolition of the Guide Dog Board and how Assemblyman Evan Lowe, San Jose, Saratoga, Campbell, and Cupertino helped to make it happen. Even though we rarely see the abolition of a state board, because of his leadership and his willingness to listen and do the right thing for the community, we awarded Assemblyman Lowe the CCB Legislator of the Year Award. The plaque was read and accepted by Robert Summer, principal consultant from the Assembly Business and Professions Committee. Jeff also noted that Assemblyman Lowe has been a supporter of our right to vote privately and independently. Leadership Dinner and Second General Session. SVCB writes, "Oh boy, there was working ALD at the Leadership Dinner sponsored by Vanda Pharmaceuticals." Eric Bridges from ACB discussed his work in making everything accessible to visually impaired people, work that takes him around the world. At the second general session, Jeff Tom presented his governmental affairs report, which featured the Guide Dog Board's sunset plus several happenings in 2018. Page 36. Elections were held. Judy Wilkinson remains the CCB president. Gabe Griffith is now first vice president, and Ken Metz was elected to complete the term for second vice president. Lisa Presley Thomas was elected as treasurer, and for directors, our own Rob Turner kept his seat for a second term, in addition to Frank Welty, Charlene Ornelas, and Paul Pache. The board breakfast. Mike was supposed to cover the board breakfast, but alas, there was no ALD transmitter. He left and calmed down with a chai latte at Starbucks. A nice, quiet place. But here's Maley's description. Minutes were read and approved. A short treasurer's report was given and accepted. There were committee updates and public comments from those members who attended this meeting. Saturday, SVB writes, "Saturday is a busy day for Alice due to the series of events associated with Golden State Guide Dog Handlers Incorporated." During the business meeting, Maley George was elected new vice president. Vita Zavoli was re-elected as treasurer, and the group welcomed William Elliott as a new director. This was followed by a program titled Helping Our Guides Overcome Trauma, a panel discussion led by the 5 guide dog school reps. Page 37. The guide dog luncheon is always fun, even though Mike does not have a dog, and there were a few others who didn't either. Mark Haynes, an international representative from Kong in California, told us about the fun history of Kong and how the toys are used worldwide with many animal populations. Second General Session. The main feature of the Second General Session was the former adaptation of CCB's new bylaws, the replacement document for the Constitution, which has become unwieldy. The bylaws were not accepted by the narrowest margin. The lively discussion indicated that some members were not comfortable with voting on the bylaws without viewing the corresponding policy statements. This work will continue during the year ahead. And now, the banquet sponsored by Uber. It was emceed by President Wilkinson, and she started with three desserts before Mike ate his. It reminded him of how he and Star would go to Baskin-Robbins and Hot Fudge Sundays for dinner after a heavy lunch. There was the Sacramento Banjo Band, with music from the turn of the 20th century. Tommy Edison, a blind motivational speaker who was not related to Thomas Edison, regaled the assembly for over 45 minutes with descriptions of his rollicking lifestyle, page 38, and Mike realized he was the persuasive MC at Dining in the Dark. Vivian Younger, chair of the CCB Membership Committee, presented the Chapter of the Year Award to the Redwood Empire Chapter for the Best Chapter Project in 2017. Unfortunately, her presentation was marred by sound difficulties. She said that the other membership awards would appear in the Blind Californian. There were other awards plus raffle winnings. Fourth General Session. Maley writes, remembrance of CCB colleagues who passed during the previous year. Treasurer's report was accepted after being read aloud. Jeff Tom then read the 10 proposed resolutions for 2018, which are briefly summarized here. 01. Advocacy Resources calls for CCB to investigate finding a like-minded organization to share the cost of a legislative affairs person. 02. DOR Accessible Documents calls on the Department of Rehabilitation to provide all documents in accessible formats. Page 39. 03. State Price Schedule calls on the Department of Rehabilitation to work together with consumers and providers of accessible technology goods and services to determine what changes, if any, need to be made in how assistive technology goods and services are purchased. 04. Paratransit calls for a statewide task force made up of legislators, paratransit funders and providers, and consumers to discuss issues such as transfer rides, pickup times, door-to-door service, and other issues arising from limited resources. 05. Polling Booth calls for the California Secretary of State to ensure all voter verification systems and polling kiosks are accessible to persons who are blind or have low vision. 06. Accessible Prescription Labeling calls for state legislation requiring prescription labels and safety information to be provided in accessible formats. 07. Rehab Purchases of over $5,000 urges that the Secretary of Education examine those purchases made by the Department of Rehabilitation in the amount of $5,000 or more. 08. DMV calls on DMV to ensure that all field offices are aware that there is an exception to state law allowing DMV employees to assist a person who is blind or has low vision to fill out forms. Page 40. 09. Physical Access deals with physical access with curb ramps and other barriers and affirms that the CCB will continue advocating for accessibility. It will also involve the CCB Committee on Access and Transportation taking the lead in this advocacy effort. 10. Electronic Visit Verification concerns the accessibility and privacy of verifying IHSS workers' hours and tasks. The proposed resolutions were passed by the membership. In addition, the hotel was commended for the high quality of its services, and the volunteers were joyously praised. In closing, I can't compliment both the staff of the Marriott and the volunteers for this convention enough. They were absolutely wonderful. They were friendly, knowledgeable, and patient. The O.B. Schumann Exhibit Hall was open on Friday and Saturday. Guide dog handlers could exit or enter the hotel's relief area 24 hours through a door in the Santa Rosa room. We could exit through other doors, but they were locked in the evening. The good thing was that if they were locked, our room key cards could be used to access the hotel. Page 41. California Parks Project Update by Susan Glass. In the winter of 2018 issue of the BC, Jamie Gibson Barros published an article about visiting Yosemite National Park, along with several other members of the Fresno and Yosemite Gateway chapters of the CCB. What made their visit unique was the park's audio-described Unity brochure and accompanying ranger-led tour. Jamie and her companions were some of the first to enjoy an opportunity that will soon be available to all blind and visually impaired Californians in any of the state's national parks. Four entities, the University of Hawaii, the American Council of the Blind, Google Corporation, and the California Park Service, are collaborating on this accessibility effort. The project got started when Dr. Brett Obegard, Thomas Conway, and Megan Conway, all from the University of Hawaii Manoa College of Social Sciences, obtained a grant from Google for the purpose of creating audio-described versions of park brochures for all national parks. The audio versions would be available as MP3 downloads and also as UniD apps to be used on an iPhone. In cooperation with ACB and CCB, blind and visually impaired Californians are testing the UniD app in California's national parks. Page 42. The Fresno and Yosemite Gateway chapters were the first CCB groups to test an app in November of 2017. Then on Friday, April 27th, 2018, the Silicon Valley and San Francisco chapters had the opportunity to try the app at Muir Woods National Monument. Here is installment two of our California Parks experience. Before proceeding further, I'd like to thank my colleague, Noel Runyon, for his excellent notes and collaboration on this article. 9 members of the Silicon Valley chapter and 7 members of the San Francisco chapter participated in the Muir Woods outing. We met at the Manzanita parking lot at the intersection of Highways 1 and 101, where we were greeted by Richard DeLau, Accessibility Program Manager at the Golden Gate National Recreation Area, GGNRA, Thomas Conway, University of Hawaii, Center on Disability Studies, and Michael Thaw, Accessibility and Exhibit Specialists at the GGNRA. We loaded and tested 2 apps on our phones, the Unity app for the Muir Woods Park brochure and the National Park Service NPS Golden Gate app for descriptions of sites within Muir Woods Park itself. The NPS app utilizes Bluetooth signals to trigger points of interest descriptions as you walk through the park. Page 43. Currently, wayside description triggering works only for Apple phones and not yet for Android. It was necessary to load our apps in advance because there is no cell phone access within the park. With the phones now ready, we were shuttled into the park where we were greeted by Todd, an enthusiastic ranger who clearly loved his work and the opportunity to introduce visually impaired visitors to the wonders of the park. Todd, Richard, Michael, and Tom each shepherded a small group of us on a park walkabout. The formerly paved walking paths are being replaced with wooden sidewalks that float above the ground to protect the delicate roots of the redwood trees. Near the park entrance is an incredible topographical map of Muir Woods with every trail, lookout point, stream, and road labeled in Braille and its assigned own texture. Frank Welty and other employees of the San Francisco Lighthouse were consultants for developing this map, and it was fascinating to hear him describe how the map was first made in clay and how leather beads and other objects were used to create the various textures for what ultimately became a metal structure. I walked around and around it, exploring every looping, switchback-laden path. The park is huge, and the map conveys its size and its meandering spread. Page 44. The weather that day was cool with partial sunlight, skittering clouds, and a companionable meandering stream to remind us that it seldom gets very warm in this redwood rainforest. One of my personal highlights was giving my San Francisco friend Linda Porrell a big hug as we stood together inside the burnt-out trunk of a redwood tree. Another highlight was exploring a Braille-labeled redwood tree ring that dated back to the tree's beginning, back to before the Common Era, BCE. Our walk was a collage experience as we moved between real-time connections with each other and nature and the rich information provided by our phone apps. NPS Wayside and site descriptions of artwork on plaques was wonderful, with color and motion of plants and animals included. After lunch, we met for an hour with park staff to provide feedback on usability of both apps. Our feedback was collected in written surveys and will help fine-tune the apps. Generally, we would advise folks to take time to listen to the Muir Woods Wayside descriptions before visiting the park. They would also find the Unity app an interesting and accessible way to find out about all the California parks. In closing, we express our appreciation to Michael Faw, Richard DeLau, Thomas Conway, and Todd, as well as to the sighted volunteers and family members who accompanied us. We also thank Dan Spoon, First Vice President of ACB, and Jolynn Bailey Page, ACB Grants Writer, who worked tirelessly behind the scenes to support and promote the Parks Project. ACB provided each chapter $250 to offset costs of the Muir Woods excursion. So onward to our next park. Page 45. Tributes to Ken Metz. We've received many memorials to Ken Metz, who passed away on May 5th, 2018. The following are two of these, and the rest will be published in the fall issue of the BC. Mike Cole, friends who are part of us. Have you ever had a friend you only see now and then, and yet they are part of you? Ken Metz and I met in 1952 at Bell School in Chicago. We were the only kids in our grade who brought our lunch to school, so we were separated from everyone else, banished to a side table in the cafeteria, and we became friends. The teacher who ran the cafeteria got everyone to be quiet by banging a milk bottle on the table. Yes, in those days, milk came in bottles, small and large. Page 46. One day she banged so hard, the bottle broke. Chaos ensued, and a whole bunch of blind, low-vision, and deaf kids loved it. Bell School was for all three categories of sensory disabled kids. Ken and I weren't in the same class. Indeed, with all the schooling we would have together, we never did find ourselves in the same class. Ken had lived in Los Angeles, where I was bound. So I remember standing in my kitchen talking on a wall phone. Remember those? We talked about what I might expect at Francis Blend in Los Angeles. He had already been there, knew some of their traditions, like they brought a Christmas tree in during the holidays. He mentioned it to say it was a good school. I would like it. He was right about that. I think back on this conversation. We were really little kids. That we spoke on the phone was remarkable. That he told me things I could use was typical of the Ken we all have known. Always helpful, always full of good information. Then came the first day of the school year at John Marshall High School in Los Angeles, probably 1962. Who was this big guy, new student, wearing a suit? Something familiar. I knew this guy, and indeed I did. We finished high school. We spent hours on the phone. Now talking girls, now sports, now blind world politics, now messing around with the phones themselves. Page 47. Yes, we were at least marginally involved in what was called phone freaking. We lived a couple of blocks from each other in Hollywood. Then he moved to the San Fernando Valley. And in those days, you had to pretty much sleep over if you were going to hang out in the evening. Remembering, Ken made a deal with our beloved gym teacher in high school. He would climb the climbing rope to the top as the semester progressed. In our big urban high school of mostly sighted kids, he made it. There he was, working in the youth department at Braille Institute. I was at the Los Angeles City College just up the street. We got together and had fun. We hung out with the same kids at the foundation for the junior blind. We went to camp, and we both went to UCLA. And when Ken, now about to be married, moved to San Francisco, my wife and I stayed with him a couple of nights until we found our first wonderful place in the city. The rumble of the streetcar going past Ken's house in San Francisco was thrilling to me. That streetcar, the L, if memory serves, I couldn't wait to ride. I had a guide dog. He had several. At UCLA, all the people and dogs had fun. Page 48. And yes, we did turn them loose in the library. Hey, we were maybe 19 or 20. And I remember he would play instruments and sing corny songs, not to drive the rest of us young people crazy. Well, maybe a little bit to drive us crazy, but because Ken was an enthusiastic guy. When he was in college, Ken typed for sighted kids. He was a very fast and accurate typist. He worked and worked, always thinking of ways to make a few dollars. He worked in sales, but he did telemarketing. If he got you to make an appointment with Matthews TV, Top of the Hill Daily City, he got paid a little. And he got into a pyramid scheme, selling an all-purpose cleaner called Haste. Oh, we teased him, but gently. You know why? Simple respect. He was a blind person who was, by God, not going to be without money coming in. And he worked for the phone company, personnel, you know. There he learned valuable lessons about proper reporting, which he took to his Lions Board membership, keeping an eye on personal policy that proved to be excellent oversight. And he was a rehabilitation counselor and eventually the deputy of the DPI program, a contract with the Department of Rehabilitation. He left when he developed heart problems and he had health concerns. But he always had energy for one more commitment, for one more meeting, for one more kind word. Page 49. He introduced me to Ralph Rock, the telephone pioneer who got beatball going. One pitch, Ken broke his thumb. Our friendship with Ken continued. We were rehab colleagues in the last 20 years we were separated, with him living in Los Angeles and my wife and I living in Berkeley. He headed the DPI program at Junior Blind. I was at the Orientation Center for the Blind. We talked, commiserated, kept in touch. From being kids together, here we were supervising important programs in our state, like a couple of real grown-ups with rather important jobs. We traveled together with canes and dogs. We laughed and kidded, and always got along. Ken was such a talented guy, you know. Musical, funny, with very corny jokes. He debated in high school, sometimes adopting a persona, playing a role. He always won. At least, that's how I remember it. We were the kind of friends who didn't have to catch up like family. We knew what we needed to know about each other's lives. We could jump into our interaction without need of background. I saw Ken as a great model for us as blind people. He always worked, and he filled his time with civic activities. He was a Lion. He volunteered at our San Francisco broadcast services, running a talk show. He was often the sound man at conventions. And lately, many of us enjoyed his humorous congeniality, hosting Tech Talk. Two people growing up with California's blindness politics, we looked after each other. It's called having your back. Well, there were times when a word, a warning, an ever so slight indication, I could trust his judgment, and I think he could trust mine. Ken was my friend, and I know I was his friend. We knew our families. We went through some hard times and great happy times. That I will miss him, just knowing he was there, speaks volumes about how as we get older, we must remember that our friends are assets better than riches. Hearing a familiar, friendly voice at just the right moment is better than almost anything. My heart goes out to Pam and Ken's children. He was a big man, someone who often did his best work behind the scenes. And those of us who knew him experienced his humanity and his love. Ken Metz was a great man who gave of himself with enthusiasm and kindness. His loss is a hard one for a great many of us. Farewell, old friend. You have done more than your share. Rob Turner. My first memory of Ken goes way back to 1966. I was 14. My voice was just beginning to change, and I was still a bit shy. Page 51. Ken would have been 18 or 19. Back then, the Foundation for the Junior Blind offered classes and entertainment for blind youth. Many of you will remember its founder, Norm Kaplan. His favorite slogan was, "It's nice to be nice," which was immortalized in his voice in the movie Mask. The drivers who transported us to and from events may have been paid. However, I believe that some were volunteers because one Saturday morning, actress Anne Hathaway, Mr. Drysdale's secretary on the Beverly Hillbillies, picked me up. I doubt that she was driving for pay. Anyway, the first time I met Ken was on a return trip from home from the foundation. On this occasion, the driver was a young lady with a very sexy voice. Ken blew me away when he boldly asked her out. I thought, hey, this guy is cool. Rumor has it that Ken was somewhat of a flirt. This little story of mine does nothing to dispel that rumor. Ken, my friend, we're sure going to miss you. Page 52, CCB Membership Committee, Growth Awards Update, by Vivian Younger, Membership Committee Chair. Since we were unable to obtain reliable chapter affiliate membership information for the year 2017, we have determined that for reasons of transparency, accuracy, and fairness, the Growth Awards for 2018 will not be established in 2018. Just as some of you may be disappointed to hear this news, I am equally disheartened that these awards will not be presented to chapters affiliates at this time. The CCB Membership Committee is already looking forward to presenting the Membership Growth Awards at the 2019 CCB Conference and Convention. First-Timer Seminar. During the First-Timer Seminar at the 2018 Convention, CCB membership committee panelists informed participants about CCB history, structure of the organization, differences between the two largest national ACB and NFB consumer organizations of the blind, benefits obligations of chapter membership, comparisons and contrasts between the American Council of the Blind and the California Council of the Blind conventions, benefits of being an at-large member, and how to get the most out of a CCB convention. Page 53. Throughout the seminar, members shared how CCB has impacted their lives and how mentorships have helped new members learn how to cope with their vision loss journeys. In addition to learning about the CCB organization, seminar participants enjoyed sharing jokes and getting to know each other. During future telephonic calls, the CCB membership committee hopes that many of you will be able to participate. Page 53. California Council of the Blind Officers and Directors, July 1st, 2017. Editor's note, we are indebted to Donna Sanchez, who updates and corrects the list of CCB officers and directors, including the number of each term each is presently serving, the year elected to that term, and the next year up for election. Terms began on July 1st following the election. The presence of an asterisk means that the individual served a partial term before the first full term. Page 54. Officers. President, Judy Wilkinson, 16 to 18, first term. San Leandro, 510-388-5079. Cell, judy.wilkinson@ccbnet.org. First Vice President, Frank Welty, 16 to 18, first term. San Leandro, 510-541-1442. Cell, frank.welty@ccbnet.org. Second Vice President, Gabe Griffith, asterisk, 17 to 19, first term, Concord, 925-768-8195. Gabe Griffith at ccbnet.org. Secretary, Artis Bazin, 17 to 19, second term, Burbank, 818-238-9321. Home, artist.basin@ccbnet.org. Treasurer, Peter Bardini, 16 to 18, fourth term, Mill Valley, 415-990-9202. Cell, peter.bardini@ccbnet.org. Immediate past president, Jeff Tom, 16 to unknown, Sacramento, 916-995-3967. Cell, jeff.tom@ccbnet.org. Directors, Gail Crossan, 16 to 18, first term, La Habra, 562-691-3391, home, gail.crossan@ccbnet.org. Sarah Harris, 17 to 19, first term, Fresno, 559-816-1507, home, sarah.harris@ccbnet.org. Pamela Metz, 17 to 19, second term, Chatsworth, 818-882-3610, home, 818-388-4996, cell, cpamela.metz@ccbnet.org. Charlene Ornelas, 16 to 18, first term, Oceanside, 619-339-6043, cell, charlene.ornelas@ccbnet.org. Paul Pache, Jr., 16 to 18, second term, Sacramento, 916-662-0861, cell, paul.pache@ccbnet.org. Page 55. Linda Porrell, 17 to 19, first term, San Francisco, 415-577-8437, cell, linda.porrell@ccbnet.org. Karen Schroeder, 17 to 19, first term, Sacramento, 760-604-3735, cell, karen.schroeder@ccbnet.org. Rob Turner, 16 to 18, first term, Sunnyvale, 408-403-9300, cell, rob.turner@ccbnet.org. Vivian Younger, asterisk, 17 to 19, first term, Downey, 562-879-6693, cell, vivian.younger@ccbnet.org. Publications Committee, Linda Porrell, Chair, San Francisco, California, 94112, 415-577-8437, cell, linda.porrell@ccbnet.org, Mike Keithley, Editor, Susan Glass, Associate Editor, Sarah Harris, Roger Peterson, Bonnie Rennie, Donna Sanchez, Dr. Catherine Schmidt-Whitaker. If you or a friend would like to remember the California Council of the Blind in your will, you can do so by employing the following language. Page 56. I give, devise, and bequeath unto the California Council of the Blind, a nonprofit charitable organization in California, the sum of, or to be used for its worthy purposes on behalf of blind persons. If your wishes are more complex, you may have your attorney communicate with the executive officer for other suggested forms. Thank you.